Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. The Savage Nation. Today, of course, is a very special day. It's the summer solstice, the shortest night of the year. Most people say it's the longest day, but my mind is a little different than your mind, so I call it the shortest night. Terrible day. People are crazy. It has to be something to do with the celestial events going on, because my drive into the city to the studio is amazing. I've never seen anything like it. One Obama bumper sticker after another. And why are they the worst drivers on the road? Why are they the most aggressive on the road? One of them blocked me at a red light here in the city. He saw me behind him. He knew I was in a rush. Didn't know me, of course. But he went as slow as he could to hit the light so that he could block the corner. You know what I did? I went in the left lane around him. He went crazy. They hate when you get around their blocks. Have you noticed that? If they try to do something and you, like, get around them. So here in the city, we're all talking about a pier fire. One of the waterfront piers caught fire. Four-alarm blaze tore through a San Francisco Pier 29, causing more than $2 million in damage. But strangely enough, the underlying pier survived the blaze unharmed, which, of course, leads to certain conclusions for those of us who grew up in New York, where strange fires occurred at very convenient times. The cause of Wednesday's fire, we read in the dumb newspaper, is still under investigation. But it doesn't appear to be suspicious, according to the moron who works for the fire department. The idiot who works says that we're doing an investigation. It was an empty building. We have no idea why it caught fire. But strangely enough, the underlying pier is perfect. Now, of course, you read what the people have to say. They're not all as stupid as the newspaper. Someone says, wait a minute, it seems to me that someone didn't want to go through the city planning process, but wanted to start fresh. This definitely sounds suspicious to me, right? So we're bringing in an expert on this strange fire on the pier, someone you may know on the Savage Nation from the past, and his name is John Scongeli. So let's have a little introduction music for John, and he will tell you how this happened on this.
What are you talking about? Four-alarm blaze. Middle of the day, the schmucks in San Francisco, they don't even understand it anymore. What do you think a blaze caught by fire by itself? They ask me to make sure they can go around a planning process. How hard is it with these idiots in the city? All I care about is giving green cards to murderers. That's all. What do they care about fires? We got a reliable man in there. I told you. We knew how to do this. We burnt down the building, and the pier itself didn't get touched. They're to hire me to take care of Iran. We make sure that the nuclear facilities go up and the country don't go down. Oh, we got in the green thing a long time ago. 20 years ago, we got in the green thing. Recycling, you idiots. What a country. What a country of morons. We've been making billions in this recycling business. And to think the schmucks, they pre-sorted for us. We got the morons putting plastic in one box. We got them putting cans in the other, paper in the other. They're not even paid to do it. They do the pre-sorting. That's crazy. We sent all the aluminum right to China so they can make them into weapons. All we keep is the plastic that no one wants anymore. What a country. It's a great country. Oh, yeah. So this leads us to the next point from John Scongeli and the mystery fire at Pier 29 in San Francisco to an editorial in Investor's Business Daily today, which caught my eye. They're finally on to the fact. They're saying, is President Obama a pathological liar? I mean, why are they asking the question? Why not just say President Obama is a pathological liar? Because what happened is he made up everything about his past. Now, who found this out? Me, Michael Savage? No. I'm just a shock jock.
According to the right-wing Washington Post and his right-wing biographer, David Moranis, who wasn't sure about Obama's stories, the right-winger at the Washington Post, David Moranis, traveled to Keene. Obama said the claim that Obama's paternal grandfather had been imprisoned and tortured by white people in Kenya as an example of white cruelty. So his biographer goes out to Kenya to investigate the tale. It turns out that Obama's grandfather was not detained or beaten by his white rulers, as Obama wrote while he was a 34-year-old lawyer. You hear this? They say that stacked up Obama's whoppers would make even Bill Clinton blush. Here's a sampling. Now, lie number one. Obama has repeatedly claimed his white grandfather, Stanley Dunham, fought in Patton's army when he was a clerk with no combat in World War II. Lie number two. Obama claimed Dunham, a communist sympathizer, signed up for the duty, quote, the day after Pearl Harbor, when in fact he waited 6 months. Lie number three from Obama claimed his father fought when he got back to Kenya against tribalism and nepotism, but ultimately was blackballed from the government, close quote. Truth, his father fought against capitalism and lost his job when he advocated communism. See, Obama came not only from a natural communist father, but from an adopted communist father. Lie number four. Obama has claimed his late mother's health insurer refused, quote, to pay for her treatment for cancer because they cited a pre-existing condition. Truth, Cigna paid all of her hospital bills and never denied payment. Lie number five. Obama claimed he and a black high school friend named Ray were ostracized in Honolulu. Truth, the friend Keith Kakagawa was half Japanese and neither of them experienced discrimination. Lie number six. Obama claimed the father of his Indonesian stepfather was killed by Dutch soldiers while fighting for Indonesian independence. Truth, the story turns out to be a concocted myth in almost all respects, according to his biographer Moranis. Lie number seven. Obama claimed his parents decided to marry in the excitement of the Selma Civil Rights March of 1965, and that he personally has a claim on Selma. Truth, his parents were married several years later. Lie number eight from your president claimed that his father got to study in the U.S. thanks to JFK's efforts, quote, to bring young Africans over to America, close quote. Truth, the Kenyan airlift his father participated in occurred in 1959, under Dwight D. Eisenhower. Lie number nine of your president. Obama submitted a phony bio to his book publishers claiming he was born in Kenya. Lie number 10. Obama denied being a member of the Socialist New Party. When a member roster of the Chicago chapter of the Socialist New Party lists Obama joining it on January 11th, 1996. Lie number 11. Lie number 12. Lie number 13. It's all from Investor's Business Daily, linked up on michaelsavage.com. In both his autobiographies, your president paints a false portrait of a still racist America and a West which is racist, where he, his friends, and his relatives are victimized by that racism. Conveniently, his remedy is to redistribute justice and wealth through bigger government. Is President Obama a pathological liar? We report. And you decide. John Scungilli will be back in a moment. This is Savage Nation. Take a break.
Savage.
You want me to talk about Fast and Furious and how I can prove Obama was behind it from day one? I'll do so. You want me to do that instead of entertaining you with John Scungilli and Pierre Fires? I'll do that. The fact of the matter is Obama's 11th-hour executive privilege claim is a violation of the Constitution, an abrogation of truth, an example of the man being a pathological liar and a cheat. And the fact of the matter is, by doing so, Obama has acknowledged that he was involved in Fast and Furious discussions by asserting privilege over the documents. In other words, you can only assert executive privilege if it's about the executive. So if it's not about the executive, he couldn't have asserted it. Therefore, he's saying I was involved with it. But this is nothing new. I mean, I'm doing this to wake you up to the fact that we're living in a very dangerous time. Page 242, trickle-down tyranny. I'll read you one paragraph just to show you. Then we'll go back to the other jokey stuff. This is page 242. Ready? In a press conference on March 24th, 2009, Deputy Attorney General David Ogden announced this. He said, the president has directed us to take action to fight these Mexican drug cartels, and Attorney General Holder and I are taking new and aggressive steps as part of the administration's comprehensive plan. ATF is adding 37 new employees and 10 new offices using $10 million in Recovery Act funds to fortify its Project Gunrunner, which is aimed at disrupting arms trafficking between the United States and Mexico, close quote. Less than a month later, Holder gave a speech in Cuernavaca, Mexico, in which he boasted to his audience about the launch of the Project Gunrunner expansion. He said, Obama talked about expanded gun tracing and gun enforcement policies in a joint press conference with Mexico's President Felipe Calderon in the same month. Let me repeat that again. For those of you who think that this is just hot air, because you understand a little bit about nothing, I'm quoting this. Obama is deeply involved in the Fast and Furious, which is why he exerted executive privilege, because it will bring down his presidency when it's disclosed. Let me give you the citation from page 242. Obama talked about expanded gun tracing and gun enforcement policies in a joint press conference with Mexico's President Felipe Calderon in the same month. That is footnote number 10. For those of you who are in the government who still know that you have a job to do, I suggest you check footnote number 10 in this chapter, and you'll find out where this quotation comes from, because this quote and this footnote in my book, Trickle-Down Tyranny, can break the case wide open. I don't need a congressional committee. I did the research for you. While you're busy seeing if you can pander to another special interest group, I, Michael Savage, wrote the most important book written in the election season, Trickle-Down Tyranny. And the reference that I'm referring to, the reference that I cite, number 10, here it is. You ready for this one? A.W.R. Hawkins, Fast and Furious, goes all the way to the White House. It comes from Human Events, August 9th, 2011. I have hundreds of references in my book. There's much more to it than meets the eye. And by Obama invoking executive privilege in the 11th hour indicates he was involved. Don't be shocked, because I proved he was involved in my book, Trickle-Down Tyranny. And shame on you if you don't use pages 242, 243, 244, and 245 in your arguments with family, friends, and others. Now let's take some calls. Cameron in New York, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Scangeli, I figured out why Obama's a better liar than Clinton.
Why?
Well, it seems like, first of all, he was brought up on a book called the Quran. You know, his father was a Muslim, and he grew up in Indonesia. He was born in Kenya in Africa, and the Quran...
Well, I tell the jokes around here, not you. This is my show. I do the jokes, not you, Cameron. The fact of the matter is, the man is a naked commie. We knew it all along. That's why we put him in office. Who else would take the job? It only pays 200 G's a year. What do you expect? What could you get for that today? A garbage man makes more in New York. One of our union workers in New York makes more than that. What do you expect from a president for 200 grand? It's all you can get.
He's even a better liar than Clinton. I thought he was the best.
What are you talking about, liar? What are you, an idealist? Who do you act? Do you think would take a job like this? A genius? Everyone's shocked about Obama not being smart. What do you get for 200 grand today? Nothing. A school teacher makes that with overtime. A cop who claims a slipped disc or a broken wrist makes more on disability. What are you talking about?
Well, you know, as a jihadist, he's required to lie to the infidels, and we are the infidels. Mike, if this man...
We don't even pay attention to it. We do business with him. What are you talking about? What are you talking? There is no war on terror. We invented it in order to put in the screeners. We own them, too.
I'm on page 242, trickle down tyranny.
What are you talking about, war on terror? There is no terror. We're the terror. We run everything. We invented the whole jihad thing just so we could build up the military. You know how much money we made in military contracts last year? More than you can imagine.
All right, see, one listener understands the joke. If I do a little more of Scangeli, I lose my voice. Where is everybody today? I got like one caller now. That's it for the. I throw out the whole deal. Okay, I'll go to this. No. So let's see what else happened to me on the way to the radio station today. That used to be a standard joke back in the day. A funny thing happened to me on the way to the theater. Well, let me tell you, a lot of funny things happened to me on the way to the radio station. See, we have bridges in San Francisco, and they all take these things called Fast Pass. you know, a toll thing, right, that you zip through with? Well, mine doesn't work. For some reason, no matter where I put it on the window. So I took to holding it out of the window, and it worked for a while. Now it doesn't work at all. So there is an office that you go to where you can get your fast pass checked out and upgraded. Now, needless to say, I didn't look forward to this. This makes the Department of Mexican Voting, I mean the Department of Motor Vehicles, look like a dream compared to it, I figure. I go there 11 o'clock. I figure they're going to close for me, close at noon. I get there 11:15 after driving a harrowing drive into San Francisco. And there's about eight people and one clerk with four windows closed. So one guy is there, big guy with an orange shirt, a white guy with gray hair and a cane. He's fuming. He's fuming. He said, the minute I walked in, the other clerk went in the back. I said, well, she must be taking a pension break. So he and I hit it off together immediately, and we got one thing to the other, and he's fuming. He's fuming. You can't believe every visit, every person at the window, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, crazy questions. Now, San Francisco being a melting pot, needless to say, many of the folks behind the counters don't speak English. And if they do, they speak marginal English. Now combine that with the Tower of Babel of people talking to them from the other side of the window. So you have a very long line in the making. So the point is I have a good sense of humor. And if I didn't have a good sense of humor, I never would have lasted this long, not only on the radio, but in life itself. So I strike it up with stranger, and I start saying these to him and that to him, and he laughs about the pensions. And out of nowhere, he says to me, well, one good thing happened with these union workers is they got beaten in Wisconsin. Naturally, that set me off, and I started blasting Obama there in the crowd, seeing if I can get a live one to react so I can give him a little Bronx cheer if he didn't like what I was saying. But none of them took the bait, so it was just him and I, the big white guy with the cane. This was a block away from the pier fire, by the way. So I finally get a woman. She comes back out after her hydration break. And she checks my fast pass. Everything's going smoothly now. I figure I'm doing good. She gives me a new one. Before she gives it to me from the glass, she says, by the way, what's your PIN number? I challenge anyone listening to this show to tell me what their PIN number is to a bridge pass toll.
Savage.
Welcome to the summer solstice, the shortest night ahead of you, the longest day. It's a very dangerous one for people who have mental weaknesses. You're going to be up very, very late tonight. You probably won't be able to sleep. Awful, just awful with the heat wave and the length of the day and the shortness of the night, a nightmare. The shortest night, the longest day, and Obama being a pathological liar and showing that he's a dictator. But it gets even worse. Romney gives a speech at the National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials, during which he says he's going to give away green cards like giving out green stamps. I've never seen anything like this. Is somebody telling Romney how to lose the election as fast as possible? Listen to clip six now. I didn't make this up. Here's the great white hope, Romney. Listen.
As president, I'd reallocate green cards to those seeking to keep their families under one roof. And
yay!
We'll exempt from caps the spouses and minor children of legal permanent residents.
Finished. He's over. He's toast. First of all, I thought it was, you know who I thought was speaking? I was shocked it was Romney. I thought it was George Bush came back to haunt us. He actually was channeling George Bush in his pandering to Hispanics here. Listen to me. Romney is a disaster. Instead of Romney seizing the opportunity to condemn Obama for this, it's just as I feared. Both parties agreed to it in advance. That's why nothing happened when Obama came out with the amnesty thing the other day and the Republicans said nothing. I suspected that there was a deal done behind the scenes to let him get away with it. I suspected that. They agreed not to fight over the Hispanics. Now we wake up, and here's Romney saying he's going to give out green cards. I couldn't believe what I'm listening to. Giving them out? That's his right to give them out like green stamps? He's not going to take Obama's executive order and trash it? No, he's going to actually expand it. He will expand it. So Romney, as you well know, as I feared, is either he himself, an undeniable, let us say, empty suit, or his advisors are shafting him. I don't really know. But the fact of the matter is he's finished. I'm going to play clip six for you again. You listen to it and tell me what you think. Play it again.
As president, I'd reallocate green cards to those seeking to keep their families under one roof. And
what?
We'll exempt from caps the spouses and minor children of legal permanent residents.
Why? Why would you do that? What do you mean, we will? So there's no opposition party. It's a single-party system, a party that is so out of touch with the American people in every way, it's hard to believe. Sandusky's son says his father abused him. I don't know what's going to be next. Everyone was abused by Sandusky. There'll be a million people claiming that he seduced and abused them. His own adopted son said that the former Penn State assistant coach abused him. Next, we'll hear that Nixon was abused by Sandusky while he was a young footballer at a college in California, which turned him into a right-wing jerk. Because he was abused by Sandusky while he was at college, Nixon became a right-winger. Otherwise, he would have been a lifetime liberal. Because the only explanation for Nixon's behavior is abuse by Sandusky. And if you go back even further, you can probably show that, I don't know, Cromwell was abused by Sandusky. It could be that before Sandusky was born, there was a precognitive knowledge that he would be the abuser of abusers. This is now like a piling on now.
What abuse?
What is Steve, welcome to the Voices going already. Welcome, Steve.
I'll tell you why I listen to you, Michael.
Why?
5 o'clock comes around here in Minnesota. You're on. And you're making a living doing what you do, and that's what I like about you. You're speaking the truth. You're not afraid of it. As long as there's people in this country that can do what you're doing and make a living at it, we got hope.
You're absolutely right. The day I am not on the radio, you will know that freedom is over in this country. I have been fighting for 3 years against the British who have banned me. I've been fighting legal battles against an evil force unlike any I've ever encountered in my life, from ghouls like you can't imagine. That one day I will tell the whole story about the most evil people on the planet. And I get up every day and I get up and do the best show I can because I'm not intimidated by evil. Let me tell you that right now.
Here, that's, see, I don't hope in the government. I don't hope in the culture. I don't hope in religion. I'm a pastor. I'm a teacher. I'm a contractor. I make a living any way I can up here in the North Woods country where it just got done raining 10 inches 2 nights ago. And
wow.
The only liberals have to say, they can't say it didn't really rain for 10 inches and all these disasters are happening in Duluth around me, you know. So they actually report the news. They just tell me what happened. I look and what happened is the same thing that they say. That's the only time that they'll ever say.
And you mean, really did they, happened. Wait, I'm see if I follow you. They reported that it rained or they said it didn't rain?
Well, that's what they would try to do if they could, but they can't because everybody knows darn well around here. That
you mean they would like to say there wasn't rain? In other words, to make believe there was a drought?
That's the way liberals report news, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's all agenda-driven. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Steve, thank you. I'm glad I'm here for you. So where does a man who could afford to eat in the best restaurant in the city for lunch go for lunch? Where does a man who could afford to eat in the best restaurant in the city with 100 friends 3 times a day go to lunch? I'll tell you, I went to Subway. Now, let me explain why I went to Subway. I went to Subway, evaluated what I wanted for lunch. No more Chinese food. I'm finished. No more. I can't take it. One more lip-sticking experience. I'm going to be in an emergency room. One more cheating. They give you 15 cents worth of chicken to begin with in the dish. They cut it back to 6 cents worth of chicken. I don't even know where the chicken came from or how old it was. For all I know, the chicken was a senior citizen when they got it. I have no idea. No more. No more grease. I don't want to go to any more slime job meals. I can't take any more personalities when I sit and eat telling me their life story. I have to listen to them for a bowl of spaghetti. I can't take it. So I said, well, okay, I got to do a radio show today. What am I going to eat? I happen to love walking around downtown San Francisco as long as the occupiers are stoned somewhere else. It's a very pleasant city. And I went in a Subway, but I got to ask you, so how do they make a living in there? They have so many people making a sandwich, it was like Henry Ford's production line. What Henry Ford did for the automobile assembly system, these people have done for the sandwich. I could see 2 to 3 people making a sandwich. There were 6 young people. Now, admittedly, some of them had earrings on so many orifices of their body that it was like jingle bells. I mean, when I asked for the lettuce, I heard like a jingling. I thought it was Christmas. Another guy had so many markings of tattoos on his hands. Thank God he was wearing gloves. I would only hope that they would make them wear a full body stocking next time I go into Subway. But nevertheless, there were six of them. The first one says to you, what kind of bread do you like? I had to put my glasses on. There were eight choices of bread. I was embarrassed to say I had to pick. I did not pick. Give me Italian bread. That was number one. You want it toasted? Yes, anything, sure. Next person, the one with the tattoos, says to me, do you want, what do you want? I say, turkey. Okay. She puts out this. I said, how much is a foot long? $6.50 for a 12-inch sandwich. The next one, do you want cheese? I figured, oh, wait, even though I'm allergic to cheese, I'll take the cheese. I'll give it to Teddy. And so the lettuce and tomato and the onion and the jalapeno and I'm eating them with a mustard, a mayo, and a this and a that and a that and a that. $6 for a 12-inch sandwich. I haven't cut it in half. I like to eat in the street. It brings me back to my days of poverty in New York, where I walked in the street and ate a sandwich and looked at people. There's something about it. It makes my eyes brighter. And I got back to the radio station. I put it in the refrigerator, the other 6-inch sandwich. And just before the show, I go to get it out of the refrigerator, and naturally, being a radio station, it was gone. But nevertheless, I planned it that way. It was my way of, let us say, engaging in charity by making certain that others in the radio station ate for lunch by stealing 6 inches of my 12-inch sandwich. You see what I'm doing here, don't you? I'm avoiding talking about Obama and Romney because I can't take it anymore. We have the most lying, dangerous president in American history, and on the other side of the aisle, we have the most vacuous panderer ever seen in the history of the campaign trail. Here is a man, Romney, who is allegedly from the opposition party, trying to upstage Obama in what he will give illegal aliens. So not only does he say he's going to give out green cards, he's going to give out more green cards than Obama. And if you elect me, I guarantee you I'll give green cards to those seeking to keep their families under one roof. And I'll tell you something else. I'll exempt from caps the spouses of minor children of legal permanent residents and let those conservatives go to hell. Because I don't care a darn whit about conservatives. I care only about the Hispanics in this country. Yep. Now it gets even better. Because this one, again, it's in his own voice. I didn't make it up. Here's your great white hope, Romney, in clip 7.
And if you get an advanced degree here, we want you to stay here. So I'd staple a green card to the diploma of someone who gets an advanced degree in America.
What? You go to college and you get an advanced degree and then you get a green card to go with it? Where is that written in the U.S. Constitution that if you go to come to America and steal a degree by getting a free tuition, free education, he's going to also throw in a green card? He's worse than Obama. Okay, you don't care. What am I going to tell you? What am I going to tell you? I don't know what to say to you anymore. What would you rather I talk about? Jerry Sandusky abusing somebody? It's impossible to do this show. The people are stupid. Okay, let's go to the callers. New York Lou, welcome to the Savage Nation from WOR. I'm a little loopy today from the sandwich. Yes, sir. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, I am completely furious, as it were, based on the fact that you have this this article, the C-SPAN video, which shows in 2009 that there was a everyone knew about Fast and Furious and the everyone.
Yeah, the president. They were boasting about it in 2009. What are they acting like? He's not involved. He created it.
Yeah, but the point is, how come no one else in the media has picked up on this? Nobody even peeks at your side? I can't believe this.
Wouldn't expect Bill O'Reilly to look at it, would you? Or Brett Baer? Would you expect the blonde leg crosses on Fox News to look at my website?
It's completely bogus. I mean, it is so obvious.
Well, that's right. Well, but they're fair and balanced on Fox News. Just ask them. I don't know what to say anymore. We have no opposition party. We have no opposition media. There's a few people left standing at the barriers here, like me and a few others in talk radio. Other than that, a few people in talk radio and a few people on the internet. Other than that, there's no one left in this country.
And you know, it's not like it was some off-the-wall situation, wasn't it?
You got a president who's boasted in 2009 about running guns to Mexico. He's on record, on videotape. It's on my website, and it's in my book with a reference. I didn't make it up. It's in Trickle Down Tyranny, a book that should be cleaned out of the bookstores today. And I don't mean by the government bureaucrats burning it in a pyre. We don't live in Nazi Germany quite yet. We haven't had a book burning yet. It should be read on the floor of Congress by a congressman. Any congressman listening to this show, and I know several who do, should get my book and read page 274 into the congressional record. In case you're waiting for the research to be done, it was already done by me. Thanks for the call. Heat wave and all. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What else is out there to talk about? Sacramento, Bill, welcome to the Savage Nation from KSTE. What's on your mind?
Just shocked by Romney. Absolutely shocked. What's he trying to be, a leftist? More left than Obama?
Did you hear anyone play Romney's speech from the National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials other than me?
This is the first I heard it was listening to you.
Can you believe Romney is pandering to Hispanics to this extent that he's offering green cards like they're green stamps?
I'm just shocked that he's pandering even more than Obama. That's right.
Exactly. He actually upped the ante on Obama's amnesty. He said, now that guy only gave amnesty to 800,000. When I'm elected, I'll give out green cards to those seeking to keep their families under one roof. And wait a minute, I got something more for you. You get a degree, I'll staple a green card to the diploma. I'm better than Obama to the Hispanics. Vote for me.
But what can a conservative do in this election, Michael?
You can do what I do. When a Republican National Committee envelope arrives, rip it in two and throw it in the garbage.
Yeah, I've done that, but I don't know what to do about how to vote. There's no conservative.
Well, nobody knows what to do. We have one candidate. We have one and a half candidates. We have Obama and a half a man on the Republican side. So if you want a half a candidate, you got Romney.
What about Ron Paul, Michael?
Too late. It's over. It's over. It's over. It's over. He's out of the election. It's over. He was nullified by the Republican Party. They want nobody with any original ideas. However good they may be or bad they may be, there's room only for the apparatchik who will follow orders from the party controllers. It is over. There's nothing to hope for. Romney is an empty suit. I would say a little bit more, but I'm not live on stage. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Another piece of bad news for Obama, but not capitalized on by Romney. U.S. stocks see second biggest drop of the year, a collapse job today, over 200 points. And that's because Moody's just downgraded the ratings of various and sundry bank stocks. And so the stock market took a dive. And there's Romney out there pandering to the National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials, which I like hearing the National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials any more than I would the National Association of Caucasian Elected and Appointed Officials. I find it repugnant in America that Romney would even go before that organization. Shame on you, Romney, and shame on the damn Republicans. They sicken me. And I'll tell you why the Republican Party sickens me, and always has. Because at least with the Democrats, you know what you're getting. You know you're getting socialism. You know you're getting whack job progressivism. The Republicans pose as conservatives and as traditionalists and as Americans when they stand for nothing but profits. Nothing but profits, which is why Romney is the worst possible candidate. Now, you may say, well, he's the only thing we've got. We've only thing we've got for what? If he's going to upstage Obama and grant more green cards than green stamps, a few days after Obama grant amnesty to 800,000 people. And Romney has nothing to say about this executive privilege garbage, which indicates that Obama's up to his eyes. Then Romney is unqualified to be the opposition leader. He's unqualified at any speed. I'm sick of this. I am sick of this, of people telling me Romney's our only hope. What hope is he? Tell me what hope he is. What hope is he? What hope is that empty suit, that jerk, that Massachusetts liberal fraud? Tell me what hope he is. He's a dope, not a hope. You know what? He ought to quit for what he's doing. They ought to throw that clown off the campaign trail and put someone in like Walker from Wisconsin. Get rid of that jerk. He's destroying this country by pretending he's an opposition leader. He's unqualified. Absolutely unqualified. Get rid of Romney. Put Walker in there. Get rid of Romney. Put Walker in there. Get rid of Romney. Put Scott Walker in there. Get rid of Romney. He stinks. Period. End of story. How do you like that? I'm on record with it. Why am I angry? Listen to him if you missed it. If you just tuned into the Savage Nation, here's Romney, the great white hope, pandering to a group of Latino officials in clip six.
As president, I'd reallocate green cards to those seeking to keep their families under one roof. And we'll exempt from caps the spouses and minor children of legal permanent residents.
That's it. It's over. Now listen to clip seven. Here's Romney again giving out citizenship like he has the power to do so.
And if you get an advanced degree here, we want you to stay here. So I'd staple a green card to the diploma of someone who gets an advanced degree in America.
No, you mean an advanced degree in what, Mitt? An advanced degree in Latino studies, let's say, from the University of La Raza? Maybe La Raza can now start to declare themselves a university and give out fake advanced degrees. What, do you put a green stamp on them, too? Oh, get off this platform. You're a disgrace. I'm sorry I even broke bread with you, Mitt. You're not welcome on this show ever. Never. I never want to hear Mitt Romney on this show. Never. I'm sick of this. He is not the lesser of two evils. He's actually worse than Obama. Because with Obama, we know what we got. With Romney, many of you are fooled to think you're going to get something else. How do you like that? And unless he changes course, this country is finished. I'm telling you right now, Wisconsin Ryan, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Scott Walker showed us how to get reelected as a governor, and he stood right with the conservatives, and he knows exactly how to get reelected. And Romney is going the opposite way.
You're absolutely right. Scott Walker stood for something and stood up against the evil unions and stood up against the evil thugs that try to drive him out of office. And Romney instead is going there and begging them to give him the vote. It's sickening. I'm telling you that the Republican Party should throw Romney off the campaign trail and get Scott Walker in there. Romney is unfit to be president.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
As president, I'd reallocate green cards to those seeking to keep their families under one roof. And we'll exempt from caps the spouses and minor children of legal permanent residents. And if you get an advanced degree here, we want you to stay here. So I'd staple a green card to the diploma of someone who gets an advanced degree in America.
We didn't have enough time, Michael. I thought one day it'd be Governor Corleone, Senator Corleone, Speaker Corleone. We didn't have enough time, Michael, but we'll get there. Don't worry, we'll get there.
So you think that there's an election, huh? Welcome to the Savage Nation. So he goes before another repugnant splinter group to me. I am sick and tired of politicians who are supposed to represent all of America pandering to splinter groups like the National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials. And he goes there and he says that he's going to up the ante on what Obama did the other day. And not only will he let Obama's executive order stand, which is more or less what he said, he's going to up the ante, and for more Latino votes, he's going to give out green cards like green stamps. You get a degree, you get a green card. You get a green card, we're going to exempt your spouse and your minor children. I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen anything like this. And if you think that I'm bashing Latinos, you are mistaken. I have a Latino woman friend. I'm not going to mention this person. I just learned, I know the woman for 15 years. She's a friend of the family. It's not like we get together every other day. And she sadly told us that she's getting a divorce and what happened. Her husband did this, her husband did that. And it turns out that he basically took the money that she earned difficult work and was sending it to another woman in their home country in Central America. Well, I thought about it all day today, and I gave her a call, and I said, you know what? I said, I want you to call La Casa de las Madres, which is a woman's, not a woman's shelter, but a group for women who are abused in the state of California. And I said, if you can get La Casa de las Madres on your side by telling them that you've been financially abused, you'll be able to defeat his lawyer who's going to try and take everything away from you. She's a poor woman. So don't tell me that I'm anti this or anti that. I am an immigrant son, but I despise splinter groups, number one. But more than them, I despise politicians like Romney who go before them and raise the ante on what they're going to give away for nothing without any America. What are we living in, a country, or are we living in a carnival here? It's sickening. It is sickening. And I think Romney should resign from this position right now. And Scott Walker, a genuine centrist who won a real election against real evil, should now take his place. Romney has shown himself to be useless to the American people, useless to the necessity to get rid of this communist in the White House, in plain English. I don't know how to mince words. He is useless if he thinks he's going to eliminate the lying Marxist in the White House. He can't do it. Obama will wipe the floor with him during the debate. Not because Obama's smarter than Romney, but because Romney has no you-know-what. And because he has no guts for the fight, Obama will rip him to shreds. And that will be the end of the election. We need someone who's a fighter. Romney is not a fighter whatsoever. That's my opinion. What's your opinion? This is the Savage Nation. Maine, Rita, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. Yeah.
Well, Romney's like, and I agree with you, he should be replaced.
Well, I don't know how much of that went out on the air, Bay. Well, if I guess the no spine part went out. Let's start again. Leave out the second part and say Romney is a what? Say it without the second part.
Amoeba.
Okay, we can't say he has cast because this is a family show. So do you agree with me that Scott Walker should be replacing Romney?
Definitely.
And you know, the Republican Party won't do that. You know as well as I do that the die is cast and they're set with him as a candidate.
I know. But anyway.
Well, what can I say to you? I'm from another world. It's a different world. It's a collapsing world. I expect someone with character to run for the presidency. I didn't say they're perfect. I'm a realist. I'm not a child. I grew up in a cynical time, in a cynical family from an immigrant father. I mean, I don't have faith in politicians to begin with, but some are better than others, some are stronger than others, some are less conniving than others, some are less devious than others, some are more honorable than others, some are more moral than others, etc. and so on. But when you got a guy who stands for nothing, who's a man for all seasons, what good is this man? What good is he at a time like this? Redding, California, Steve, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Michael, I am absolutely frightened for this country. We are in deep, deep trouble. I just finished your book, which I gave 3 copies to my best friends, and they gave copies to their friends. And we all are confused as to what to do because we are losing this country.
That's right. If it was just a book of opinion, you wouldn't be making this call. But as I pointed out in the last hour, the gun running scandal. We're pretending that we don't know whether Obama was involved with this gun running. He boasted about it on March 24th, 2009. He appeared in March 2009 and told people that he was involved in this from the top down. That is why he was able to enact executive privilege, because it covers his acts. It wasn't about Holder, it was about him. And for Congress to say they don't know if he was involved is ludicrous. It's right in my book, Trickle Down Tyranny, on pages 242 forward. And I have all the references. So I've done the work that a congressional committee ought to be doing, but they're not doing.
Everyone needs to read that book. It is vital. It is vital, vital, vital.
I know that. I mean, I know, but then they think I'm just selling a book. They don't understand here. What I'm trying to sell here is the survival of America. That's what I'm trying to sell. I'm trying to sell the survival of America, not the survival of Michael. You know, look, my friends, I mean, I don't want to make it any more about me than I already do. I ate in Subway for lunch. I don't need to aggrandize myself with additional book sales. I don't need to go to a fancy restaurant to feel like a man. I don't need to surround myself with 8 bodyguards and 25 sycophants like Glenn Beck does in order to think he's a big man. I have the education and the knowledge I need to tell you what I think is true, and that's good enough for me. God gave me the brains to be able to see things, and they gave me the guts and the heart to say them. That's all I've asked for. I don't ask for anything more. And so, therefore, if I put down everything I know in this book, Trickle Down Tyranny, and I get up here every day on this radio show, and I sing the best I can about what's going on in this country, that's all I can hope to do. I never thought I'd live this long anyway. Each day to me is a miracle. I thought I'd be dead by 40 with my nervous system and what I've been through in my life. So each day that I live is a miracle. Let me tell you that right now. Let me tell you that right now, because I never thought I'd reach the age of 50, let alone the age of whatever I'm at. I don't have to go through the exact birthday I just had. But the fact is, there's a reason I'm still alive and kicking. And I think one of those reasons is the fact that somebody up there wants me to say the things I'm saying. And as long as I can still say them, I will do so. I'll be right back.
Savvy.
Some people have asked if I will let stand the president's executive order. The answer is that I will put in place my own long-term solution that will replace and supersede the president's temporary measure. As president, I won't settle for stopgap measures. I'll work with Republicans and Democrats to build a long-term solution. I will prioritize efforts that strengthen legal immigration and make it more transparent and easier. And I'm going to address the problem of illegal immigration in a civil and resolute manner. We may not always agree, but when I make a promise to you, I will keep it.
And then in clips 6 and 7, he makes the promises that are really wonderful for most patriotic Americans. Listen to them again.
As president, I'd reallocate green cards to those seeking to keep their families under one roof.
Oh, God.
And we'll exempt from caps the spouses and minor children of legal permanent residents.
Oh, God.
You get an advanced degree here, we want you to stay here. So I'd staple a green card to the diploma of someone who gets an advanced degree in America.
You mean any advanced degree? It could be in, let us say, what studies would you, any advanced degree? And what university, Romney, would that be? Would that be a made-up university? Would it be a mail-order university? Would it be an advanced degree in ethnic studies, perhaps, that we need more ethnic studies experts? You mean we just need anyone with an advanced degree? Anything, Mr. Romney? That's really smart thinking. I can't take it anymore. I read an article, which I put on my website just now, that a new study came out of Europe that living near loud traffic may raise heart attack risk. Every day another idiotic epidemiological study. As someone who has a PhD, which includes a division of one-third of it was in epidemiology, most of these studies are useless. Living near loud traffic may raise heart attack risk. Now, of course, unto itself, everyone knows loud traffic noise upsets people. It disturbs your sleep. But it doesn't mean you're going to get a heart attack as a result of the noise. It could be some other reason that you have the heart attack, some other reasons that you have the heart attack. And I have no idea whether they've excluded these other reasons. I myself have run from noise my entire life. As a kid, I grew up in a slum in the Bronx. I didn't even notice the noise because children could pay no attention to it. That's part of life. It's called like a symphony outside your window. Then I moved to Queens, New York. I lived on a busy bus line, Utopia Parkway, where we had fumes coming in the window, rattling windows. I can remember the windows to this day, the rattling storm windows in the winter as the Q44A went by. I don't know what the bus number was, but every time it went by, the windows rattled. It's something out of a black and white English movie with one of those row houses. Then I moved to Marin County, California, where I thought I would have paradise. And for the last 40 years, I've been running from leaf blowers, chainsaws, dogs, and dog crap. So the answer is, there is no answer. All of life is a stress. That's why on gravestones through the ages, there used to be the initials R.I.P., rest in peace. Why do you think they put R.I.P. on the gravestones? Because everyone was running their whole life from something. Chainsaws, leaf blowers, barking dogs, rattling windows, buses, wives, children, relatives. Anyway, I mean, you can get away from it all. It's crazy. The worst pollution in America right now is politics. The worst pollution on the planet. 1-800-449-8255. What can I say to you that I haven't already said? I mean, I've really told you most of the things I want to say today. So I've talked about eating in Subway. I've talked about liberals in cars who cut me off on the way to the radio station. I talked about my Subway sandwich, the other 6-inch part of it getting robbed from the radio refrigerator. So let's see. I'll go to a local newspaper, which nobody reads, called the Epoch Times. It's put out by anti-communist Chinese. It's one of the finest newspapers I've ever seen. The Epoch Times headline, Italian seniors outraged by pension policy shift. Tension is growing for thousands of Italian seniors who may have to face months or even years without a source of income after the retirement age was raised under new pension reforms. What, in Italy they don't work altogether? What do you mean raised? They want to retire at like 47. Here in California, they retire at 55. I think the governor is suggesting that the retirement age be raised to 67. That's about the only good thing that Governor Brown has done. Of course, he knows it won't happen. That was to pander to the taxpayers, as you well know. The pensioners, labeled esodati, roughly translated as exodus or sent out, had previously agreed to take early retirement packages in exchange for lump sum payments or continued salary, blah, blah, blah. Now they had to change it in Italy. The retirement age has been unexpectedly raised. Look, what's going to happen is very simple. It's not the sky is falling. Instead of every Italian son having his own apartment where he can do his hair all day long and collect the pension himself, the son will live with the mother. The father's already dead or ran off to America a long time ago. The son will live with the mother. The married daughter and her son will live with the mother. They'll all live in one house instead of four houses. It's going to go back to the way it was. People survive with much less. Instead of four cars to a house, it'll be one car to a house. Instead of long vacations in Corsica, it'll be short vacations in a neighboring area that you can drive to by car. Just watch some of the 1950s Italian movies, and you'll see what's going to happen in Italy in time, because that's the way it has to go. It's the same in America. If you want to know what's coming in America, just try to remember what America was like in the 50s economically. Don't bring up already the civil rights movement. That's like the minute I say the 50s, right? The left is going, oh, you're against voting for blacks. No, I didn't say that. I said if you want to see how America is going to be economically in the very near future, just take a look at the model of the 1950s. There was one breadwinner in the household. They had one humble dwelling. They had one car. If they were lucky, they took one two-week vacation. The children didn't go to expensive schools. Like me, I went to a city college. I didn't go to a private college because my father couldn't afford it. I did very well anyway. I worked harder. I had to work doubly hard because I went to a private college. I didn't have to go there to learn how to party. I partied pretty good in the municipal college. I learned how to party anyway. I was able to party in between three jobs. So, you know, you don't have to go to a private college to get your brain massaged by men like Obama at Harvard. It doesn't guarantee you a darn thing. In fact, everybody I know who became rich, every person I know who made themselves wealthy, never went to an Ivy League college. I know nobody who ever went to an Ivy League college who amounted to a darn anything. Usually they come out with a sense of entitlement that their you-know-what doesn't stink. And they walk around thinking the world owes them a living. And guess what? Most of them wind up as flops with their Ivy League degree. So those of you who have young children, of course you think if you get them into the right elementary school and the right this school or right that school, they're going to wind up on top. No guarantee whatsoever. They'd be better off being thrown into the cauldron of a public school and learning how to think and how to survive than sending them to some stupid privileged school where they'll learn nothing but how to put a condom on a cucumber and sleep with their fraternity brother. This is the Savage Nation. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. What else is in the Epoch Times? Falun Gong practitioners assaulted in San Francisco call for end to hate crimes. That is correct. The Chinese communists are all over this city, and they're beating up the Christians, the Christian Chinese. In fact, the international communist movement has never been stronger in the world. It is activated. It is on. It has a president in the United States of America, and it has activists all over the world. That's right. You heard it exactly the way I said it. The communist movement is stronger than it's ever been in the world right now.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. If you think things are bad now, they're going to get a lot worse, I can guarantee you. Since we have no opposition party, since we have a one-party system with two-card Monty, I mean, I'm not optimistic. If we had a candidate like Scott Walker running, I'd be gung-ho for the guy. The man stood for something, and he won. He was, if you remember, do you remember how he was roundly lied about and castigated by the vermin in the media? Do you remember how the liars in the unions tried to destroy him? Well, guess who won? And guess why Scott Walker won? He won because he stood for something and he was willing to fight. And that tells us why Romney is liable to lose. He stands for nothing and he doesn't seem like he's fighting. That's the bottom line here. What does he stand for? Nothing. Does he really look like a fighter to you? No. He looks like he needs a testosterone shot every time he speaks. Bob in Michigan, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, I'm surprised that you hadn't mentioned this term before. I'm sure you're familiar with a number of years ago, a movie came out, The Stepford Wives.
It scared me, that movie.
Every single time I see, and I remember a number of years ago when Romney was running, you said that dog doesn't bark. And I saw him speak once in Michigan, and every single time I see the guy speak or hear him speak, I'm expecting him to just run out of juice right in the middle of a sentence and stand there frozen like a statue. He doesn't seem human to me. I mean, I know he's a Mormon, he doesn't drink, but have a little schnapps, get some life in you and say what you really mean, what's in your heart. It drives me crazy.
Well, Bob, that's exactly how most American men think about Romney. Exactly what you just said is men whisper to me who say that they're going to vote for him anyway, and some say they're not going to vote at all, but they're terrified that Obama will win again, and it'll be a stake through the heart of America if Obama wins again. But they look at Romney the way you do. They see something's wrong there. There's something missing.
You just wonder, why can't the guy develop a personality? He's been running for president for the last 20 years. Hasn't somebody taught him to develop some passion? It's amazing. We need Chris Christie and Scott Walker. Those are our only hopes. There was a man.
You're right. You're right. You know, Chris Christie and Scott Walker as a team could easily sweep the country because they're real men. They stand for something. They're proven. They're proven quantities.
You know what's another big story, besides this story having to do with Fast and Furious? I think a bigger story is the fact that the media absolutely refuses to cover it. If this would have been a Republican administration that would have had these problems, Sandusky wouldn't be in the news. Nothing else would be in the news. It would make Watergate look like a kid's play.
Absolutely. The president has implicated himself simply by signing an executive order, or whatever they call it, executive this, executive that. It means that it covers the executive office, not Holder, which means he's admitting that his handprints are all over it.
At least when Pravda, covered for the communists, they had to, or else they would get shot. These people are selling us down the river because they want us to be sold down the river.
That's because they went to the schools of journalism run by two of the worst communists in American history. There are only two major journalism schools in this country. And the presidents of both of those schools are diehard communists. They have been since college years, and they switch positions back and forth for the last 20 years. And so they only handpick people who are malleable. They pick people who are malleable like Nutty Putty. You think they're going to take a guy who comes back from Iraq or comes back from Afghanistan who has put his life on the line for this country and admit him to a journalism school? I think the likelihood is very low. And the likelihood is even lower that a man such as that would even survive journalism school. So what we get instead are these wimps who are not only useless but dangerous. Yep, I like your phrase very, very much. I read that testosterone is now going to replace Viagra for male enhancement. I mean, you can make all the jokes you want about that, but perhaps the most dangerous thing you could ever do is take testosterone shots, and yet apparently millions of Americans are doing it. They like it for the muscle mass. They like it for the vigor it gives them. They have no idea that the doctor's misadvising them if he's suggesting they take testosterone pills or testosterone shots because, I mean, I, as a trained epidemiologist, have studied all the data, and you should understand that as you get older, your testosterone levels naturally diminish. That is your body's way of preserving itself from rapid aging and from degenerative diseases of a certain kind that are brought about by too much testosterone. So if you add testosterone, what you're going to do is speed your aging process. You may look good for a while, but let's put it this way. It's like a plant in your garden. If you give it too much of the wrong fertilizer, it may look good It may look very colorful. It may look extra rigid, pardon me, for a short period of time, and then it will wilt and die much sooner than it would have without that fertilizer, the wrong fertilizer. Do not take testosterone, whatever you're doing. I'll go into the details if you want. It's such a shame that people don't get the right information. I don't blame the people. I blame the pharmaceutical establishment for being able to push such a fraud on the American people. You want to talk about the president being implicated in Fast and Furious? I've done so. You want to talk about Romney embarrassing himself and the Republican Party by pandering to the Hispanic vote by saying he'll give out more green cards basically than Obama? I've already done so. You want to talk about loud noises, loud spouses, loud relatives, loud uncles, loud restaurants? This is the place to do it. Washington, D.C., Max, welcome to the program.
Thank you. The loud noise study just tells me about how limited and how much hokum there is in epidemiological studies. You know, you say loud noises, they say loud noises cause heart attacks. I grew up in the Bronx, a block away from the 4 train. It went by every 3 minutes. I think it gives me powers of concentration.
Well, I'll tell you something else about fraudulent studies. We hear about minority children are exposed to lead. And as the evil paint manufacturers, the shyster lawyers sued the paint manufacturers, saying poor minorities were ruined by lead paint. I remember growing up in a tenement in the Bronx, and my cousin's apartment was adjacent to ours, right? So I'm going to try to explain it. It's not that it can be explained. So you have a front door in the apartment, and he had a front door in the apartment that was directly opposite the wall of ours. We took screwdrivers. And we got rid of the drywall, that actually it was plaster, in the wall. And all that was there was the wood behind the plaster, right? And that way he and I could talk to each other without using a telephone. Our parents didn't know it because we made the hole very small. But the point of the story is that I would put my mouth and nose right on the plaster, which was probably full of lead. It was not only lead-based paint, it was probably lead-based plaster in those days. And we talked for hours every week to each other through the crack in the wall. So far as I know, it hasn't done anything harmful to me. You understand? Most of this is based upon rat studies, and we're not rats. We're quite adaptable.
Yeah, you've got, well, I think you probably got lead, you probably got asbestos, 22 other things that you could sue about.
My father smoked Philip Morris. Now, it rapidly killed him, I know that, sadly enough. But I grew up inhaling secondhand smoke. My entire childhood, I sat in his lap and listened to the radio with him. He'd read the paper, smoke a cigarette, and we'd listen to the radio. And I was inhaling the cigarettes. I loved it as a kid. I don't think the secondhand smoke did anything to me. Do you?
I think the radio protected you.
Max, I think that I'm the only person in talk radio today who actually grew up listening only to radio. Do you know that? I'm not ashamed to admit it. I am what I am, and age-wise and every other way. But I predated television. Would you believe it? We were the first family in our little Bronx tenement to have a television set. I think it cost my father $1,200, which in today's dollars, what is that, $12,000 or more? I don't even know.
Think of what you saved on movies.
No, well, think of what we saved on movies, right? But the television screen was so small, Max, that it came with a magnifier that you put in front of the screen to make the picture bigger. Would you believe it?
Always a pleasure.
Thank you for calling. But the years before the television, all we had was radio. And as I've said to you many times, the reason I'm a genius on the radio is because I grew up listening only to radio. And my father said to me that he liked the radio better than movies because it encouraged you to use your imagination. He said, with a movie, you can't really use your imagination because the images have been imagined for you, in essence. Of course, that's self-evident. But with a radio, if you're describing the Green Hornet went down the alley and the fog was rolling in, and you could hear the foghorns in the background. Mm-hmm. So you had to imagine the Green Hornet, you had to imagine the alley, you had to imagine the fog, you had to hear the horns, you know what I'm saying? That's why I live in San Francisco. And of course, I don't walk down back alleys because I'm liable to be run over by someone on a bicycle with nipple rings and green hair. Consequently, I definitely don't hear the fog horns anymore. Albany, New York. Dale, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Oh, I was calling because Mr. Romney's just making me sick to my stomach. I can't believe he's pandering like this, and I want to know what he's going to do for Americans, the people who've been here for generations, and our kids are going to school. Is he going to reduce tuition? Is he going to buy their books? What's he going to do for us?
I don't know, but he's going to give out green cards to illegal aliens, that's for sure, and he's going to raise the stakes and give out a, he's going to staple a, he actually said he'll staple a, listen to clip seven.
If you get an advanced degree here, we want you to stay here.
Oh.
So I'd staple a green card to the diploma of someone who gets an advanced degree in America.
You would. Would you personally staple it? Would you have your family staple it?
But these are the kids who are taking the jobs, them and their parents. The reason we have such high unemployment is because there are so many people here that we can't account for who are taking the jobs.
Well, Romney said that he's going to boost legal immigration and give out more green cards. It's on the top of my website, michaelsavage.com. The proof is right there. He said it. He says one thing to the Republican National Committee, and then he goes and gets on his hands and knees before the Latino elected and appointed officials like they're more important than the majority of Americans and says, I'll give out more green cards. So therefore, Romney has abrogated his responsibility as the leader of the opposition party. And frankly, I think he just threw the election in the toilet.
He did, and he's a two-card Monty, and who else am I going to vote for? I have to vote for some clown who's pandering to a small group of people, and he's not talking to the people who founded the country, built the country, who've been here for two, three generations. I'm really irritated.
Dale, I don't know what to say to you. I have no answer for that. There's no simple answer to that. We know that both political parties are fundamentally broken, special interests only. They pander to splinter groups. They ignore the American voter. And we're all sick of it. And so we had a chance for a while. We had the Tea Party came along, and it was destroyed by the union thugs and by the Congressional Black Caucus, which threatened them and castigated them in the most disgusting, racist way imaginable. The Congressional Black Caucus engaged in naked racism and naked thuggery, frankly, in attacking the Tea Party. And they got away with it because their friends in the media did not call them out on their despicable behavior. So the fact of the matter is, they're still out there, though. The millions of people who join the parties still have a right to vote. The question is, who are they going to vote for? The top of my website, Proof Obama and Holder Knew About Gun Walking in 09, is right on my website. It's in my book, Trickle Down Tyranny, on page 242. There's about six. I have a whole chapter on the. Listen, again, I don't want to make you think I'm just selling you a book. I got to repeat it again. I could eat in the most expensive restaurant in town every meal of the day for the rest of my life and wouldn't feel it. Thank God I've worked for about, 60 years now, so I can eat where I want. But I ate in Subway. The point of the story is I don't need you to buy the book because I need the royalties. I need you to buy the book just for Chapter 10 because no other book out there covers Project Fast and Furious with the detail that I have in this chapter. I knew this day would come. Chapter 10, Tyranny of the Anti-Justice Department. Who is Eric Holder working for? I'm reading some of the caps inside the chapter. Project Fast and Furious, that's 242. I'm going to read you just the headlines of inside the chapter. Holder's Continuing Assault on America. That's also in the chapter. Let us see. We're just flipping through this together. And that about summarized what's in it. But the fact of the matter is, I have the most complete discussion of the gun running story of any book currently on the market. And the fact of the matter is, this corrupt administration has now come full circle with this exposure of Fast and Furious, with the executive whatever Obama signed. He has acknowledged that his footprint or handprint or headprint or footprint or noseprint is all over the gun running scandal, or else the executive whatever it is would not have had any validity whatsoever. Executive privilege, my eye. It's called an executive cover-up. New York, Pat, welcome from WOR. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. I have a feeling about something here. I was trying to think what could
All right, well,
be
what
coming.
Is it? Let's not think out loud. What is it?
I think that they have a war that's against Joe Arpaio of Arizona that is being discussed in these documents, because when Calderon came here in March of 2010, spoke about the Americans being the biggest drug consumers and the biggest gun runners in the world. And it was only 4 months later that Holder sued the state of Arizona under Joe Arpaio for wanting to control the borders.
Well, wait, but Joe Arpaio was never the governor. It was Jan Brewer, not Joe Arpaio. Joe Arpaio's a great guy, but he's a sheriff, not a governor. It was Jan Brewer who's the real hero in that battle. And that battle, by the way, is being discussed in the Supreme Court as we speak. And we should get the ruling on that one either tomorrow or the next day, whether or not the state of Arizona had the legal right to defend their borders, in essence. And I believe that the Supreme Court will rule in favor of Arizona, personally. It's going to be yet another blow to the Hispanic lobbies and to the groups like La Raza, which, you know, I don't know how you don't understand this. The woman who ran La Raza, she has a name. Her name is Cecilia Munoz. I've watched her politically for the last 15 years. She is the head of a group called La Raza, which means the race. Make no mistake about it. Listen what I just said to you. La Raza means the race. Now, what if a man or a woman belonged to a group called the race, and it was about Caucasians or European Americans? Would you think that a Republican would ever hire that person and put them in a high position in the White House? Well, Obama has taken Cecilia Munoz 2 years ago and placed her in the inner circle inside the White House. And she, along with the ACLU, have now jury-rigged our immigration system to grant amnesty to at least 1 million illegal aliens. So here's Romney, about 5 days later, having an opportunity to say this is unfair, this is illegal, even though it's in front of a Latino group. This man had a chance to be Reagan-esque and speak forcefully and honestly to these Latino elected and appointed officials and say to them that if anyone came in here illegally, it is a violation of our sovereignty and of our laws. I'm in favor of legal immigration, and I will increase legal immigration for those skill sets that we need in this country, but I will crack down on illegal immigrants because they hurt all of us, Latino and otherwise. I can guarantee you that that speech would have been accepted by that Latino group better than his pandering. I'll be back.
Savage.
As president, I'd reallocate green cards to those seeking to keep their families under one roof. And we'll exempt from caps the spouses and minor children of legal permanent residents. And if you get an advanced degree here, we want you to stay here.
Oh, yeah.
So I'd staple a green card to the diploma of someone who gets an advanced degree in America.
Well, you could have each of your sons and your grandchildren with staplers lined up, and they could be stapling green cards. You could put that on television. That would be great. Everywhere you turn, Sandusky this, another one, Sandusky. Sandusky's son alleges abuse. If this keeps up, Sandusky can become a verb instead of a noun. What else is in the news? Sorry. Why should I be sorry? I mean, it is true. Because right now, a noun is a person, place, or a thing. And of course, it's a man's name. But eventually, it will become synonymous with the verb, better known by another name. CIA involvement in Syria, running guns and weapons to who? Who? Who's the CIA running guns to? Why, the Syrian opposition. Because they're rebels. They're all rebels with a cause. And who are these rebels? Well, we don't know, but it's good for business. It's good for the military-industrial complex. So we're bringing guns to the Islamists, like we did in Libya. Look how that worked out. This is a great thing. Keep running guns to the Islamists and then wonder when they use them against our troops where they got the guns from. And while this is going on, old John Ketchup Kerry is pushing for a UN climate change agenda. And it goes on and on and on.
Savage. Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
As bad as it is with Obama, you're not going to believe the level of pandering to Hispanics engaged in by Mitt Romney today. How sad.
I come to you as a candidate for the president of the United States of America. And I will govern from the principle that while this is a land of extraordinary diversity, there is much more that unites us than there is that divides us. I've come here today with a very simple message. You do have an alternative. Your vote should be respected. And your voice is more important now than ever before. Some people have asked if I will let stand the president's executive order. The answer is that I will put in place my own long-term solution that will replace and supersede the president's temporary measure. As president, I won't settle for stopgap measures. I'll work with Republicans and Democrats to build a long-term solution.
Again, Romney refuses to say he'll overturn Obama's amnesty. Here, Romney says he'll actually give more green cards to illegals. Shame on you, Mitt Romney. Shame on you.
As president, I'd reallocate green cards to those seeking to keep their families under one roof. And we'll exempt from caps the spouses and minor children of legal permanent residents. And if you get an advanced degree here, we want you to stay here. So I'd staple a green card to the diploma of someone who gets an advanced degree in America.
Meanwhile, Debbie Wasserman Schultz says the contempt charges against Holder are a witch hunt. I guess it takes one to know one.
In spite of the fact that legal experts, independent legal experts like Jeffrey Toobin, have said there is no smoking gun here, there is clearly not anything that the Obama administration is hiding, the Republicans in Congress pursue essentially a political witch hunt because they know that they don't want to focus on creating jobs. The documents that executive privilege was asserted over today were not related to Fast and Furious. They were related to the investigation that Mr. Issa has conducted, and all of the documents that have been asked for related to Fast and Furious have been produced, which is why it's clear that this is nothing more than a political witch hunt.
And Democrat Rep. Al Green of Texas wants to hold hearings on the radicalization of Christians. Talk about liberalism being a mental disorder.
Why not have a hearing on the radicalization of Christians? Don't you marvel at how a person born in this country, born into Christianity, can become radicalized? Isn't there any curiosity as to what happens to cause a person who is born into Christianity to become a radical?
Now, on my website, there's an article that you have to see from the Investor's Business Daily newspaper, which is President Obama a pathological liar? They say that virtually everything he wrote in Dreams from My Father, none of it is true, according to the Washington Post editor and biographer David Maranis, who is his biographer, who traveled to Kenya to investigate various tales. In his book, Obama wrote that his paternal grandfather was imprisoned and tortured at the hands of British colonists in Kenya as an example of white man's cruelty. He claimed Hussein Onyango Obama was unjustly detained for 6 months before being released a crippled, lice-ridden old man. Well, Obama's liberal editor and biographer traveled to Kenya to investigate the tale. It turns out Obama lied. His grandfather was not detained or beaten by his white rulers, as Obama wrote as a 34-year-old lawyer claimed. This is the latest example of a growing body of completely fabricated embellishments of Obama's background. They believe he's a pathological liar. They say stacked up his whoppers would make even Bill Clinton blush. This is all on MichaelSavage.com. I'll give you lie number one. Obama has repeatedly claimed his white grandfather, Stanley Dunham, quote, fought in Patton's army when he was a clerk with no combat in World War II. Lie number two. Obama claimed his paternal grandfather, Dunham, who was a known communist sympathizer, signed up for duty the day after Pearl Harbor, when in fact he waited 6 months. In another lie, Obama claimed his late mother's health insurer refused, quote, to pay for her treatment, quote, for cancer, because they cited a pre-existing condition, when in fact Cigna paid all her hospital bills and never denied payment. Another lie, Obama claimed he and a black high school friend named Ray were ostracized in Honolulu, when in fact the friend, Keith Kakagawa, was half Japanese and neither of them experienced discrimination. Lie number six, Obama claimed the father of his Indonesian stepfather was killed by Dutch soldiers while fighting for Indonesian independence, when in fact the story turns out to be a completely concocted myth in almost all respects, according to his biographer. You owe it to yourself to read all of these lies on michaelsavage.com, compiled by Investors Business Daily. We have a very serious problem on our hands. Also on michaelsavage.com, are you interested in the gun running scandal? Are you interested in knowing what Obama did or didn't do? It's all in Michael Savage's great new book, Trickle Down Tyranny, on page 272. Everything you need to know to defeat liberals in any argument anywhere. Proof Obama and Holder knew about gunwalking in 2009. Military instructor suspended over an Islam course. This you're not going to believe. The University of Minnesota and the NAACP are in a program to undermine white privilege at the university. White privilege, whatever that is. Congress is blocking Leon Panetta from closing military bases. Good for them. Legal experts question executive privilege claim. No kidding. Egypt's election results delayed amid military coup fears. Of course delayed. What do you want, the Muslim Brotherhood or the military? I'll take the military. The West may offer Assad immunity if he gives up power. He would be given safe passage to Brooklyn, where he will open a rug store. New York Dems under Mario Cuomo are set to block teacher ratings release. Thank you, Mario. That's great transparency. You and Obama are known for transparency, siding with the unions to block people from seeing the ratings of teachers. What a country. Flashback, Michael Savage attacked by illegal aliens and race baiters. There's a YouTube on my site. Texas dad won't face charges for beating a molester. Professor fired after expressing climate change skepticism. How's that for freedom of academia? On the bottom of michaelsavage.com, 1950s locker room prank sparked 2012 murder. Oh, my God. Larry Ellison of Oracle is buying an entire Hawaiian island. He's not just taking a trip there. He's taking the islands. Sign up for the Savage Nation's free daily newsletter. It's free. One click away on michaelsavage.com. All this and more right here on the Savage Nation. Wait. Hang on before I go. I read an article on how the economy has affected consumers and that customer service and return policies are really now the main reasons people choose to do business with a company. Case in point, it's time to replace the blinds, shades, or shutters in your home. You take your measurements, you head off to the big home improvement store. Sure, they take your order. But when your window coverings arrive, you find out they don't fit because the schmuck from the plumbing department gave you bad advice. You trudge back and they tell you, sorry, no returns on custom orders. Not at blinds.com. Not at blinds.com. See, even if you mismeasure, which almost never happens, they'll remake it for free. Who does that? There are also over 100 real experts in-house happy to assist. Get free color samples, free shipping, and no sales tax in most states. Plus, expert installers if you need one. That's blinds.com, where their prices absolutely crush home improvement store prices. Blinds.com, I've used them for blinds. I love them. Blinds.com. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
I'm giving you an honest presentation of what he's proposing. Now, I'm looking forward to the press following up and making sure that you know I'm not exaggerating. I believe their approach is wrong. And I'm not alone. I have not seen a single independent analysis that says my opponent's economic plan would actually reduce the deficit. Not one. Even analysts who may agree with parts of his economic theory don't believe that his plan would create more jobs in the short term.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender.
Slogging through the nightmare of an incompetent Marxist regime without end. Welcome to the Savage Nation. As we speak, the pretender-in-chief, I think he's at a fundraiser right now, that the president is listening to the Savage Nation on the way to the old movie stars. There's a great article today's, shockingly, I don't know how ABC permitted Matt Negrin to write this column. As you well know, ABC is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Democrat Party. But here's what he wrote. He said, fixing the economy will be put off for a few hours this evening. President Obama will be busy shaking down some celebrity guests, attending a fundraising dinner hosted by Sarah Yenta Parker and Yenta Winitor at Parker's New York City home. Tickets cost $40,000, about as much as the average person makes in a year. Let me repeat that. The man of the people, the man who was down with the people, the man who is for the people, the man who is against the 1%. You can go to a fundraiser for $40,000, about as much as the average person makes in a year. And what do you get? Well, here's what you get. For $10,000, somebody named Matthew Broderick will sit next to you. Never heard of him. For $5,000, you'll share a table with Will Smith. I don't know who he is. The standard dinner will be overseen by Michelle Obama and will consist not of her normal greasy ribs and fries, which she apparently loves to eat, but for the show dinner, the Stalinist show dinner, there will only be served a dinner approved by Napoleon Bloomberg, locally grown herbs, low-fat beet-garnished eggplant, and a corn and soybean protein shake. No 32-ounce Slurpees. For $2,000, Obama will give you a personal shout-out at the beginning of a speech. For $4,000, he'll serenade you with 3 seconds of Al Green. For bundling $500,000 for his reelection campaign, he'll make you the ambassador to England. And it goes on. That's the name of the game. That's the name of the game. That's the world we live in. That's the election that we're all waiting for it to be over. None of us can believe it. Now, talk radio is interesting. Talk radio is interesting. It's a serial. In essence, each show follows the show before it. They're not separate. They can be separate, but they're not. They're really one continuum. And theoretically, this is like a long-running serial. The type I used to love when I was a young boy, The Lone Ranger, The Green Hornet, things of that nature, radio serials. I am the only one in talk radio who actually grew up listening to the radio. Think about that. I'm the only major talk show host who actually grew up listening to radio as my primary medium. Let me correct what I said or modify what I said. Of course, everyone in talk radio listened to talk radio at some point, but it wasn't the only medium around. When I was a kid, there was no television, if you can believe it. I'm not that old, but the fact is that I used to listen to radio with my dad. We'd listen to the Green Hornet. I can still smell the secondhand smoke from his Philip Morris cigarettes as we lie on the couch. And he told me that radio is a great, great medium because you had to use your imagination, and he liked it better than the movies. So the young Michael would be lying there inhaling secondhand smoke and getting turned on by the fumes of Philip Morris and listening to radio. And here I am, 1,000 years later, not believing that radio is not seen for what it really is, which is the most powerful form of communication I know of. Email is pretty good, but it's not really personal. Talk radio is much more personalized, I think. So having said all of that, this show is a serial, as I said, and one show really in a way is connected to the ones before it. So yesterday, what did we talk about? We talked about my forthcoming public appearances, the first time I will have been seen in a public venue for 8 years, beginning September. I don't have the date yet. I had it this morning somewhere. I don't have it anymore. I lost it already. I'm not very good with emails, but nevertheless, it's somewhere in Marin County Civic Center for September. Write it down. Saturday, September 22nd at the Marin County Civic Center. And the minute we get it, we're going to tell you how you can call them up and get a ticket. You can't now. Then Florida, South Florida. Then I'm trying to do a couple other cities. But the point is, if you want to talk about that or the day before it, remember what we talked about? The molestation of young boys, the most hidden secret in America is young boys, because the Sandusky trial has come up. Thousand more who've thought about calling, and there's at least 100 anonymously yell it out. You know what I'm saying? What else is in the news? Well, I don't know what else. What's in the news? Who knows already? Again, listen, you want to talk? You know what I really want to talk about? Is I'd like to also talk about Syria, because you don't know what to think about Syria. You're confused by Syria. You're being deceived by the United Nations and the American press about Syria. And you see, whichever side you take, you're going to feel you're wrong. It's impossible to take a side in the civil war. However, if you know what happened in Libya, and if you know what happened in Egypt, you can pretty much understand that the major media is being stampeded by the Islamists into believing that the rebels are the saints, and the dictator, Assad, who is as brutal as they come, is the real bad guy. He's evil. He's bad. Put it down. Michael Savage said Assad is evil and bad. But the rebels are worse. They are Islamists. They want to drive out or kill all the Christians in Syria who are being protected by Assad. You don't know that. And attention, Jewish liberals. Once again, as brilliant as you may think you are, you know nothing. Once again, you know nothing. All you know is what Spielberg puts in your brain. You don't know anything. The Jews in Syria are being protected by Assad, which is why the UN wants the Islamists to win. You schmucks.
Savage.
The firestorm over Obama's gun smuggling to Mexico executive privilege happens to be growing by the minute. Everyone sees this for what it is, a presidential cover-up. I compared it to Nixon and Watergate. I compared it to him first. Well, joining us right now on the Savage Nation is Dr. Charles Dunn, who serves as the Distinguished Professor of Government at Regent University and is Chair Emeritus of the United States J. William Fulbright Foreign Scholarship Board, to look a little deeper into this comparison. Dr. Dunn, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Good to be on with you again. I always enjoy your show, so thank you very much.
Well, tell us, is it exactly what I see it as? This man is a tyrant?
First, let's put it this way. The great Harvard philosopher George Santayana said, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." Apparently, Obama has not read about what happened to Richard Nixon. He's failing to heed Santayana's dictum, which, of course, ultimately led to impeachment proceedings and Nixon's ignominious resignation from office. So by claiming executive privilege, he has brought the ball in his court, or we might put it this way, in the game of tennis, this is an unforced error. Something he didn't have to do. Now this has become his problem. It was the Attorney General's problem. So the President of the United States has put himself in a strait betwixt two, between the rock and a hard place and the devil in the deep blue sea, and it's going to be very difficult for him to get out of it.
What are they thinking?
I think a couple of things. One is he owes the Attorney General something. That's the first point that I think we both could make. Secondly, because he's claimed executive privilege here at the last moment, this suggests that maybe he does have something to hide. Certainly, you know, perception is the mother of reality. And so by claiming executive privilege here at the last moment, he's created this perception that he knows more than what he's let on. And remember, Eric Holder himself said he didn't know anything about it, and he had to retract that. Now, the president, of course, claims that he really didn't know anything about it. He may have to retract this. And I think the advice that, for example, Bill Clinton received from one of his top staff, you know, Clinton, he had 14 executive privileges, And a top advisor said, look, you may as well let it out now. It's going to come out sometime. But, of course, Clinton persisted, and Obama apparently is persisting. We do know that at least three top security advisors in the White House knew about this. Now, if they knew about it, I think we can logically raise the question, wouldn't the president have known about it?
Is this similar to Watergate? I think it is, and it's obvious to me he needs to be impeached here.
Well, they're similar in certainly the politics of it. Let's back up. Richard Nixon won one of the greatest landslides in history in 1972, but because of what he did in his claim of executive privilege regarding Watergate, he brought down his party to awful defeat in 1974, allowing the Democrats to gain overwhelming control of both houses of Congress, a substantial majority of the governorships and state legislatures. Now, let's fast forward. Barack Obama won a stunning victory in 2008. People thought that we were on the verge now of a new and large majority, and he promised us transparency, and we see that we've had anything but transparency. And we, at this juncture now, politically, see leading Democrats beginning to distance themselves from Barack Obama because he's becoming an albatross around their neck. Let's look at Bill Clinton. What has he said? Let's look at Ed Riddell. What has he said? There are Democrats, for example, saying we're not going to attend the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte. Why? They fear for their political lives. So Barack Obama has a lot at stake here. It looks like what he wants to do with executive privilege is ride out the storm through the election so that whatever he knows about that he's unwilling to reveal will not come out until after the election. But we can rest assured it will come out, as it did with Bill Clinton and with Richard Nixon, at some point.
How difficult is it going to be for Obama to back out of this if he even tries to do so?
I think the one way that he can extract himself is this way. You know, we have a case of what I call Nixon deja vu, and that's what you and I have been talking about. But we could also say that this could become a case of Clinton and Br'er Rabbit, hearkening back to the old childhood story. Br'er Rabbit outfoxed, Br'er Fox. And that's what Clinton did with the Republicans. Republicans thought they had Bill Clinton dead to right in the impeachment scandal. But what Clinton did was to utilize that to get Democrats to fall in line with him, saying, look, these Republicans are really going after me, the leading Democrat, and ultimately that's going to hurt you. So he gained unanimous support of the Democrats in the House and the Senate in order to ward off those attacks. That is, he became like Br'er Rabbit, who ultimately ended up in the briar patch. And, you know, the old line at the end of that story, he hollers out to Br'er Fox, I was bred and born in the briar patch, Br'er Fox, born and bred in the briar patch. Clinton was the ultimate, the consummate politician. Politics, the briar patch of politics. And so he wrote out the problem like Br'er Rabbit did. That's the way he could win on this, if he can turn this into a political matter away from the legal and constitutional matter. And something that you and I have not talked about is that there is now a legitimate ground for impeachment proceedings with regard to what President Obama did on immigration. There's clearly a violation of the Constitution there. So he has a mounting array of possible attacks that Republicans can use against him, but they have to be careful lest they become like Br'er Fox, and he becomes, as Clinton did, like Br'er Rabbit.
What can we, the people, do?
We must let our elected representatives know what we believe. Notice I didn't say think, but what we believe. a much stronger verb there. By writing to our elected representatives in the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate, voicing very strong and stern positions on this, that this is a matter that speaks to the heart of American democracy and whether we will continue to proceed as a democratic republic as we're supposed to be. We're right now in the throes of a lot of attacks on American culture. That's why my latest book, American Culture in Peril, speaks to that subject. Our culture is in peril, and what we're seeing happen now exemplifies that. So listeners should write, should call, should email their elected representatives. They should buttonhole those representatives when they're back in the districts and the states and let them know strongly and sternly what they believe.
Dr. Dunn, thank you for being with us on the Savage Nation.
Thanks again, Michael, for having me on. If I may, I mention my most recent book, American Culture in Peril. You can get that, of course. You can Google me, or you can go to regent.edu or any one of the major bookstores and get that. It's American Culture in Peril. Thank you very much.
I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
It's unbelievable to me what's going on in the world, but you don't want to talk about it. Oh, it is Spain. If you act flame since Obama took office. We had allies in the Middle East. They're no longer our ally. The country is, the world is in upheaval. The economy's in shambles. And yet, the man could go to a fundraiser in New York at 40,000 ahead and with the same breath tell you he's for the poor. That he's for the poor, the less than 0.1%. And you can believe it. It just shows you that you can fool all of the, most of the people most of the time. Let's put it that way. Lincoln may have said one thing, but Savage says another. I'll change Lincoln's phrase of you can fool some of the people sometimes, some people all the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. I'll change Lincoln's address to this. You can fool most of the people most of the time, given that the media is owned by the politician who is fooling the people most of the time. That's all going on. SF couple kills daughter's alleged pimp. Cops say... SF couple killed daughter's pimp, cops say. Bicyclist charged in pedestrian death. Took him only 2 months to charge him. Sped through an intersection and killed a 92-year-old man in the Castro district. They finally charged him. I was in San Francisco yesterday. I'm not there today. I don't know anymore. I love the city. I don't love the city. I love it, but I don't love it. I don't like the bums. I don't like the bicyclists. Let's see, what else I don't like about San Francisco and what I do like. I got sick from the greasy Chinese food. There must be something wrong with me if I am unable to eat the Chinese food. I mean, I normally eat bad Chinese food for years. But I finally got sick from it. I mean, I joke about it. It was horrible. I mean, chicken? There must have been an ounce of chicken in the whole dish, chopped up little pieces. That's to begin with. You got to be insane. You go to Safeway for $8.99, you can get a whole... I don't understand it. But I'm addicted to the place. I go in there. The food quality is going down across America. Have you noticed? Italian food. You know where they're cutting on Italian food? Mark my words. Tell me if I'm wrong. They're cutting back on the sauce. Why? Tomatoes are expensive. So that's where Tony is getting you. That's where Tony is getting you. He's cutting. But you mark my words. Especially if you get takeout. If you get a takeout pasta dish, you're getting reamed on the sauce. They're cutting it in half. Because the sauce is expensive. That's the way it is. So what are you going to do? Stay home? Everyone eats in restaurants. There's no other outlet in the country. Make noise. They scream. You get a drink, two drinks of cheap rot-gut wine in them. Cheap rot-gut wine, and they start screaming in restaurants. I can't take it. I feel like wearing headphones in restaurants. The screamers drive me crazy. The women. You put two Chardonnays in them, two cheap California Chardonnays. which is nothing but sugar water with a little grape in it. And they get hysterical, screaming. My teeth are on edge, like chalk on a blackboard. What else do you want to hear? I don't want to do politics. It's Thursday, but it was cool. It was hot. I was in San Francisco yesterday, so I met an old friend of mine. I still talk to one old friend of mine. And we're walking in the streets after the show, and there was fog on the bay, but we turned the corner, and there was sun out. I thought I was in like a Miami Beach set. His face looked like it was on fire. And we had to run under the shadow of a tall building. I said, look at you. I feel like I'm talking to you in Magic City, in that circa 1961 on Collins Avenue. It was shocking. San Francisco is not supposed to be like this. It's like a day the earth stood still. Yeah, I know, it's global warming, right? Every million years, there's a cyclic change. So Al Gore can capitalize on the cyclic change. He's smart enough to look at paleological history and come up with a scam. He sold it to all the gonoffs in the university business. You know, smeared them with enough grants, they all believe in the man-made global warming. So what do you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about medications, molestations, protestations, declarations? Anything is fair game. Let's go to the callers. Okay, Eric on Waco, Texas. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I have an idea for your live event.
Yes.
when you do your live event, you should broadcast it live. Do a radio show as your live event.
What do you mean, don't do a live event on stage?
No, do it on stage, and then as you're on stage, have the show being broadcast as that day's radio show. So you're doing your radio show.
Well, you mean put it on my website?
Well, you could do that. You could do it that way. But you
and what?
Also,
give it out for free or charge for it?
Well, either way. But you know, if
hey, what do you mean either way? I mean, what promoter is going to put all that money into a stage show and then let you sell it and give it away for nothing? You can't do that. You have to. It's a business like anything else, Eric.
I understand that. But
in other words, if I have a large concert promoter willing to take Michael Savage and put him on stage, right? Why would they want to have me put it out on the air for free?
Well, being there is way different than listening to it.
All right, thank you very much. Here we go again. The Obama voters want it for nothing. How come Obama doesn't appear at a fundraiser for free? He could say, well, it's $40,000 ahead, but we're doing it for nothing today. How come Obama doesn't give a speech? He doesn't belch without getting paid. He doesn't yawn. Michelle doesn't use the salt shaker without getting paid for it in public. I never saw anything like this. Now, it is true I could run it on the internet the next day on my website on a pay-per-view basis. It's like the Pacquiao fight a day later. You know, you can't do it when you're doing a live show because then people would stay home rather than go see you. Actually, that's an interesting question, by the way. I want to ask a question. It's about sporting events and about live speed. This is a very intriguing question. If you go to a ball game, is it different than watching it on television? Yes. Yeah, but how different? Is it better? What do you like about it? Tell me what part of going to a ball game you like better than sitting at home and watching a baseball game. Let's see. You like being around people you've tried to avoid all your whole life. You like being threatened by people in the stands, people you would normally never in a million years come in contact with. Let's see, you enjoy that. You enjoy getting caught in gridlock on the way to the stadium. You enjoy paying $25 for a parking spot. You enjoy paying $19 for popcorn and $12 for soda. You enjoy paying $13 for a bad chili dog. What is it? You like getting a sunburn in the stands. You enjoy the screaming idiot next to you. Let's see, you enjoy the woman in front of you with so much perfume that you feel as you're going to check yourself into Bellevue Hospital from a chemical overdose. So now the same is true with like a boxing match. Let's say I go to Vegas, and I've gone a few times and watched a boxing match, and I'm in the front rows. Okay, so what do you get to see? The blood hitting you in the face? You miss getting hit with the sweat? What are you getting there? That you could see the box is better on television. Now let's go to Michael Savage giving a talk. I'm going to appear live. Wouldn't you rather see me live rather than not see me on television? It's a complete reversal from what I just said. What are you going to see with me on a stage that you wouldn't see if I was on the internet? It's a reversal. It's a complete reversal. A complete and total reversal. And you have to figure out why. I actually don't know why, but I'm trying to ask people why they go to any live event. I have no idea. I try to stay away from everything. If I could, I would never see another person for the rest of my life except my immediate family. And even that I would limit to a minimal amount. I don't know what it is. I'm trying to look up, like, there's a syndrome about this. Some kind of mental or physical syndrome. But if I look back on my life, I can't say I've always been this way. There was a time when I liked people and I was popular, etc. I was like the shortstop. I was the announcer. Everyone liked me. I don't know. I'm painting myself into a corner with talk radio. It's an isolating profession. And you sit alone. You're probably imagining I'm in a studio surrounded by an entourage of 15. You're great. No one here. Zero. The dog isn't even here today. I'm absolutely alone. The crew is in another state. I'm alone in a room. I have a microphone and computer screens. A prisoner at San Quentin has a bigger social, better social life than I. In fact, I was considering committing a crime in order to get arrested, because at least I would have people pay attention to me. I'd have more friends. I could have a therapy that could try to build up my self-esteem. They'd find out why I don't feel good. I'd have constant attention, good dental care, good medical care. I could learn a useful skill for when I get out of jail. I'd have guys to schmooze with day and night. It's a great life in many ways compared to most of us working stiffs, don't you think? I bet many people have thought what I just said. Many of you have watched these shows on prison life, and you said, you know what, I envy them in a way, because they all have friends. They sit around all day long. They talk to each other. I never saw anything like it. Savage.